All right. Well, welcome to the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Show. This is our Thursday night interview program where we bring people on board to talk about different things in the world and things that kind of relate to what we do as agile people in the business and business world in general. And today I got Annie Mood, who is a well-being consultant specializing in preventing and really important, preventing burnout and restoring work-life harmony, which is what we go on, if you look at our mission statement, kind of like right into it, so it's perfect. Annie's going to be in book volume 21 of the Change series for Insights in Self-Improvement, and that's the next series after the one I was just in. And this interview is not the classic, what do you know about Agile, what can you teach us, but it's more of a let's get to know Annie and what she would like to share with people around the world and everything. And we might have a bubble alert just so we got a cattail that just went through our interview. Bubbles, really? Anyway, this is what happens on my show every day. So the people who watch my program are used to this. She's my co-host. That's why I always say I'm always the co-host. So with that, Annie, as a well-being consultant, please tell us a little bit about yourself, what you and what you would like to share, especially something that's not in your profiles, something on your personal journey.
Ooh, you want to get in that quite deep straight away.
Oh yeah, we got to learn. They all want to meet you first.
Okay, let's see. Something that I have not shared, perhaps, is that I was clinically depressed for about 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I had to really work. I'm no longer depressed. I had to work on myself for a very long time to pull myself out of that energy of depression, to change my mindset, to manage my emotions, to, you know, develop my spiritual understanding of who I am, what I am, you know, my identity, and so on, to bring myself out of depression. So that is just one of the things that I don't usually share, but you can have it, Greg.
So we got a little insight in there. Yeah. And anything about your journey, how you became a well-being consultant?
Again, I was in the trenches. That's how I became a well-being consultant. So when I speak from a place of experience. So, you know, having grown up in a country where we were segregated, there was a lot of rioting. You know, it was a challenging time in our country. So that's one level of being in the trenches. Then moving to a new country and starting off on my own and building a life, you know, and, you know, being in quite a few controlling relationships, all related to the depression, I guess. And then having teacher burnout twice. And when I say teacher burnout, I mean I went right down. I was off for a year. So I had to really bring myself out of that survival mode and back into thriving. And then my child was diagnosed with a rare form of autism. So having to learn, and her autism is rooted in anxiety, very high levels of anxiety. So if you can imagine someone constantly being in panic attacks, that's the way I can explain that in the simplest of terms. And I think it was just, I was in survival mode for a very long time, but at the same time, I knew that I had to work on my inner self. I had to work because nobody was going to come and save me. Nobody knew how to.
So yeah.
That's the thing that people need to know, that even if you go to a doctor, they're just going to ask you a few questions, but you have to do the inner work to get yourself out of where you are.
And that's an amazing story, and you have to fill in. So what countries did you travel from and to, and where you are now?
So I was born and raised in South Africa, and now I live in the UK, but I've been in the UK for about 25 years. So I've taught in the UK education system for a while. Yeah, about two decades.
It's kind of like when people ask me, where are you from? I said, well, technically I've been in Philly for like 35 years now, something like that. And before that, lived all throughout the United States traveling. So it's kind of funny when they ask you, where are you from? Well, technically. Can you share something about your business and how you got to the business? You shared how you became a well business consultant, but is there anything about your business that you would like to share how you started teaching this and coaching?
You know, I love teaching, even though I didn't want to become a teacher. I was forced. Yeah. But it turns out I love teaching the thing that I like to teach, which is not maths and not English, but about emotions. And I think because I have this deep understanding and I can bring it, I can help people understand it in its simplest form. And the reason I learned how to do that was because I had to do that with children, in education. So that's how it all came about. The fact that I just learned, I know how to take something complex, bring it into its simplest form for people to understand. And when you know your genius zone, then you use it.
Okay.
So that's how it came about. Well, and I love helping people. I do love helping people.
I think that's what we all have here as far as being working as a group and everything, and try to encourage people. So a little before we did an interview, and we chatted, and do you have any advice for how to empower people to manage their own emotions? Like in Agile, we're all about empowerment and self-organization. So any tips you can provide us, because we're emotional peoples, right? Beings. Can you share something about how to empower people to manage their emotions?
Oh, there's so many different ways of doing that.
Well, just pick one or two. We don't want your whole book. We'll save that for later. You can sell the book.
So I use techniques. I use different techniques to help people to empower themselves. But if I was to, if you couldn't use a technique, which is very easy to learn anyway, I use EFT, I use heart math, heart brain coherence, bringing your heart and your brain into coherence and synchronicity. But if you, if you don't, the simplest way the simplest tool I could give is you've got to become aware of your emotions and your thoughts, because the two are linked, right? So it starts from a thought. So the minute you start to feel an unpleasant or uncomfortable feeling, immediately notice what the thought is, because that's the thing we have to get rid of. And then if we have to take it a little bit further, then it's about looking at the belief, right? What belief do you have, mm-hmm. that's creating that thought, then that's creating that emotion. And usually people go about their day not really thinking, not giving themselves time to feel, or not allowing and accepting those feelings. Like, we tend to reject ourselves, and we are emotional beings, as you said.
Right.
But the minute you accept it, minute you accept the emotion, and you say, thank you for being here, or I get you are here, it will leave. But the more you resist it, the more you try and fix it and resist it in that moment, the bigger that emotion is going to get.
So the big thing is, like we always talk about in coaching, is acknowledging your emotions before you get in there, so that you know where your stance is and where you're set at before you go and engaging with other people, maybe, is important.
Yeah. But also being aware of your physical status. Mm-hmm. Are you hungry? Mm-hmm. Are you tired?
Yeah.
Or are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Those things can also cause emotional discomfort.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Well, I always tell people, don't. If you're going to do an all-day event, make sure you feed them. Otherwise, you're going to catch it later on in the event.
Yeah.
So I got a scenario for you, and I can use your help with. So the other day, I was on what we call a sprint planning meeting, and I know you don't necessarily do the Agile and IT stuff so much, but you're more in that managing emotions and things like that. And I had a person on the team that got off topic, right? They got off topic, and I made the mistake of correcting the bias of their point their basis, not their bias, their basis of their point. And oh, I could see like the look in their face that I triggered an emotion. Like, oh, he said I was not right or something like that. And I know they interpreted it as, oh, I'm wrong. I'm like, no, you're not wrong. It's just the priority is this and this and this. And I did that. So I guess a two-part question for you based on that scenario. One, part A, how do you recommend dealing with a trigger point within oneself? And I think you kind of briefly mentioned on it. And the way a part of managing emotions, maybe part of the response earlier and everything. Anything you want to add to that?
I deal with triggered people all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Triggered children, triggered staff, triggered clients. Right? They come to me because of their triggers.
We're going to need to figure that. We're going to have to do a whole nother session. If you do it all day long, how can you help us? Because we deal with that a lot too. So,
okay. You cannot match their energy. You've got to step back firstly. That's not you. You've got to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your energy is your energy. Their energy is their energy. Something you said you triggered, but something you said triggered in that person, but you don't actually trigger that person.
Right.
Okay. So when you understand that, then you start to think about, okay, that person's got to manage their emotions. You've got to manage your emotions. Okay. So if you are getting triggered by them getting triggered, that's when you've got to become more self-aware as well and step back. Right. Mm-hmm. So you cannot help another person. But I can't help people who are crying if I'm crying myself and feeling their emotions. Right. And I work with some complex children. So I have to separate myself from them and separate my energy and know who I am. So if you felt that what you said, you were confident about what you said, you were because you know your content, you know that this is what it's got to be. This is how it's got to be. I don't know what the, what the work was.
You know, you're tracking. Mm-hmm.
Whatever the work was. If you are confident, then you must know that that was not you. Like that was not your energy. You don't have to dive into that energy. If you are saving someone who's fallen overboard, you're not going to dive in with them, right? Mm-hmm. Overboard on a boat or ship.
You throw them the lifeline, right? Don't kill yourself.
You're going to be in it, struggling with them.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no.
But it takes practice. Look, it takes practice. Even though I'm saying this, right, you've got to learn and practice. And generally people need someone to coach them and help them to understand how to do this. I'm just explaining it through words, but there are ways that we work together to separate you from the client and separate, not even from the client, from anyone, actually. You have to separate your emotions. And it's easier when you don't have an emotional connection, right? So if it's your spouse, if it's your child, you're going to get triggered, and it's harder to come to that trigger because you have an emotional connection. But again, what is that thought? That thought is, I want you to feel better so I don't feel like this.
You know, I'm going to put this request out there, and I'm going to catch you on. We talked about having Annie on one of our meetup groups for the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Show. And maybe we could do a session and practice how to handle triggered people. Maybe that would be a little session we could do in there, just a little quick little practice that I think maybe if people are interested in that, please comment on this and say, yes, I would love to know how to handle triggered people from all your experience. Maybe we'll do a session in our meetup. So please comment in this video. Now, on and that goes right in my part B of my question. Actually, I walked right in my own question. How do you manage triggered people? Any recommendations? And just from the top, but yeah, definitely people comment if you would like to do a session, some practice rounds with Annie on and doing some trigger practice, I guess, if you want to call it that.
How do you manage triggered people? Firstly, I would ask, what was the energy in the room at the time?
I would say a lot of times when you're in these meetings, it's people have lots of things going on. They're distracted. They have other appointments, other meetings they have to do or work they have to get done. So they may be anxious, right, to get moving on. There's also, there's always some, depending on the organization, at the level of trust in the team that you have, if the trust is not very high, people might think that other people are trying to make other people look bad or make themselves look better than the other person in the team. That happens when teams don't have enough trust and safety in their group.
Okay. So if I'm working with a team like that, I wouldn't even start working on the actual content. I'd mm-hmm. have to get people, even classes as well, I'd have to get them into a synchronized energy where they, and that would be my job, to uplift the vibration in the room so that people are now coherent and synchronizing with each other and being kind to each other. And generally I do that through, I put on some calming music. I would, it doesn't have to be a meditation, but I would talk them through relaxing them, making them feel better, bringing them into the present moment, because you use the word distraction, right? Distractions causes anxiety, and then not being able to trust each other. Again, that's all causing anxiety. So you want to uplift the energy in the room from anxious to maybe hopeful, or to calm, or to, relax. We don't want to get them too relaxed.
Right. We don't want them taking a nap.
Yeah. But you understand.
Yeah.
But you can do that through music. You can do that through getting people to be, pumped up first, get their bodies into a different physical state. You can do that through meditation. You can do that through laughter. Mm-hmm. Laughter is really good. It diffuses anxiety, diffuses stress in the moment, if you can get people to laugh. Now, I don't mean tell a, joke where what do the cat say to the dog kind of joke, but
yeah,
within, you'd have to read the room. You'd have to be able to, and just say something that would make people laugh.
So, so that might be like getting the room prepared, as we would call that, for that discussion. Let's say you did all that and they still triggered, right? Something in there got them, they went into their bad spot, or their emotional feeling about something, or I've been saying this for a month now and you aren't listening to me, something, and then you could see it, that they are taken back or pulled away from the group, maybe in such a way of that visual cue. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, asking them, why do they feel that way? Mm-hmm. What would make them stop feeling that way? Because then you want to get some answers about, why, what's going on? What are the challenges that they are experiencing? And then you want to, what you want to find out, you've got to be a salesperson, I guess, mm-hmm. find out what the problem actually is. You have to take, because the problem is always further back. The problem may not even be something to do with the team. It might just be that person's resilience is so low that anything is going to trigger them, or they've got something going on in the background at home, whatever it is, so, but in situations like that, as a coach, you have to read the situation,
mm-hmm.
to pull the person aside and give them a coaching session.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. You want to pull them on the side. But let's say you're in a team environment. So it's tricky in a team group. One-on-one, you pull them aside. But when you're in that moment and you got like 10 people on the team and one person gets triggered, any thoughts on how to downplay or bring them back or bring the team back to that mode?
Well, usually that's when I would use my techniques. I would stop everything, and that's when I would be like, okay, right, let's just take a moment. Let's bring it, let's give ourselves. In fact, that is a great time to actually break for a cup of tea mm-hmm. or coffee or whatever you all have. What do you have? Mountain Dew?
I don't know
what you have.
Sometimes, coffee, sometimes. Tea, Mountain Dew.
But because if you cannot break that tension yourself, then you need bigger forces, which is, take a break in that moment.
Yeah.
Things calm down. then come back. And before you come back, you start again from the same place you started at the beginning, because yes, it just meant that, you know, the energy started to get tense as you were going along in that session. So even if it's a 5 minute break where people stand up, they breathe, they, you know, move their bodies, changing their state, right, there is going to be able to change again the energy or change the tension in the room. And you've got to try different things.
Yeah. And I love the idea of trying different things and different ways to do that. And my own personal trouble is doing it in such a way that's subtle enough that the people don't think, well, you're bringing attention to me. You're making me the star of the show. And we don't want them to feel like now they're the star of the show because they created an environment or the meeting's going off track or wherever it's going. And sometimes I just try to offer, compliment them on their idea and thought rather than say they're wrong. Say, you know, that's a great point. Would you be open to have a further conversation as a group? And we can talk about this topic as a whole and really focus on the concerns that you brought up or something like that as a way of pulling them back from retreating without, you know, saying, hey, you're wrong. We're not there. You know, there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of negative things that people have said in the past. Coaching some people like, oh, that's not the topic. And I disagree with what you said. And there's maybe some word things you can play to bring them back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And solution. Yeah. You know, just thinking about solution focus rather than problem focus. And as the facilitator, you would need to facilitate that. Let's bring the group back into solution focus. To be honest, I had to do a lot of that in staff meetings.
Well, that's basically what these meetings are. They are like staff meetings.
Staff meetings, yeah.
I know.
Nothing's going right.
No, that's what they all call them. There's staff meetings, it's a status brief. No, it's not a status brief.
I think you've got to find that fine line between people who are complaining as well,
right,
allowing them to vent, but not vent too much where it takes up, you know, 10 minutes.
Right.
Because everybody's in that venting energy.
Right.
So there's a lot as a facilitator that you would need to do in order to create cohesiveness between, you know, yeah, is that the word? Yeah, cohesiveness with the group that you are working with.
You should really think about coaching agile teams and how to coach people. I think you hit a lot of topics. When you go training and classes and do our practices, you hit a lot of topics that we do all the time. So sometimes it might be good to hire Annie as a coach for yourself to learn how to coach through those scenarios and walk you through and ask those questions. So perfect. Spot on, by the way. I think my audience will definitely enjoy that conversation. Okay. Now, this is, I'm going to say, my favorite. I say this sarcastically. Part of coaching a team is when they overthink, quote, overthink Scrum as a practice because it's really only five ceremonies or five events and three. It's not very complicated, but everyone likes to overthink. Or the what we call sizing of work, how long or how difficult this would be. We use points sometimes or counts or all kinds of different things, the size of work we have. But personally, I try to get them to not overthink it and just do it. So is there any points you can share with us on how to manage overthinking on a particular topic that we might be working on? And it could be anything. I mean, it's all the same thought process.
So if you're talking about people in general just overthinking, is that what you are?
Overthinking about? A solution, overthinking what the answer should be, maybe.
Ah, well, that's coming from anxiety.
Okay.
When you overthink something, that's you just not trusting. Not trusting your process, not trusting the universe's process.
Okay.
Not trusting that, you know, that, look, you've come this far, you've solved so many other problems previously.
Mm-hmm.
Bank on that. It's trust, it's about, yeah, developing a level of trust within yourself and that even if a mistake is made, then you make a different choice.
Okay.
So overthinking, again, it comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of anxiety, of nervousness, and that lack of trust. So if I was overthinking something, mm-hmm. I mean, so the way I thought about overthinking previously is mm-hmm. something different to what you're talking about okay. right now.
Well, go ahead and share that and what you were thinking. I mean, go for it. I mean, could be.
Yeah. No, overthink when I, you know, when people generally overthink something,
mm-hmm.
That's a different situation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But in those terms, that's when you ask yourself about your thought. You start to question your thoughts. Is it true? Byron Katie is the one that actually came up with these questions.
Okay.
Is it true? You know, mm-hmm. is it absolutely true? Things like, how is this thought serving me? Mm-hmm. Can I drop this thought?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're overthinking a solution mm-hmm. to a problem,
mm-hmm.
then you're now moving from a solution energy back into the problem energy.
Okay.
And the problem energy is stress.
Okay.
Whereas the solution energy is thriving, right? Survival and thriving. I don't know if this even makes sense.
It does. It does from but it'd be interesting to put a different context, because there's what we do divergent convergent thinking a lot of times when we come up with, so we'll talk about a problem, really talk it through, and then figure out which problem we want to tackle, and then we'll figure out, okay, what are all the possible solutions to answer this problem? And then we'll talk about all the solutions and pick whatever one we want to go on as a group. So we're all over the place when it comes to problems, like thinking about the problems we have and into that negative world versus solutioning and the path forward, where when you obsess about a problem you have, I guess that's more of a negative thing versus what could be the positivity of a solution, that there's multiple solutions to this problem, and just getting to that thought process, maybe.
Yeah. And then identifying sense. You know, even with the solution, you can mm-hmm. identify any of the obstacles that you might come up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you identify what the obstacles are, mm-hmm. you can identify the solutions to the obstacle. How can we, you know, what can we do so that we either lower this the stress of the obstacle, whatever, or the intensity of the obstacle? You know, just having, then you've got to really break it down and have even more solutions to get to that final solution that you are looking at. But if you can identify what the obstacles are, yeah. then you're in a better position to either avoid them completely or deal with them when they come up with. And then we go back into the emotions.
Right.
To learn how to trust that you will be able to deal with the with the problem when it comes up.
So, by the way, which you don't know, but I will let my audience. You basically took what we call a retrospective is in a nutshell. So when we do retrospective, I know you know, but it's funny. I just want to make this clarification. If anyone's listening, says what she just said is how we run our retrospectives, where we talk about what was bad, we look at risk, we look what went well, things that could be coming down the pike, and then we think of different alternatives, things that could block us, what are we going to cover, and we lay all that out and then kind of plan in that what we call the next sprint to tackle some of those issues that we come up in our retrospective. But what you said, which I know you don't know because you're not trained in the Scrum and the Agile kind of thing, but it's right on top of what we do in our retrospectives. So it's kind of funny. You summarize in a different thought pattern or a different way of looking at it than what we do as part of our simple process, which is going to be, they say, Scrum is easy to implement. Or, no, Scrum is easy, but hard to master. It's just one of those things. Anyway, so great. Thank you very much for that. Now, from our conversation, I know you work with quite a few clients in the States, especially the East Coast and all. Please share a little bit about your services that you have available, maybe your future business endeavors, what you got coming down the pike, what people might want to know more about your business.
Okay, so I have just moved platforms, and I now have a teaching platform, which suits me better. So I have courses on my platform,
Good.
and there will be more courses coming up. And it's all about mindset work. It's about emotions. It's about delving deeper into limiting beliefs and making those changes. I do a mastering stress workshop, but that is I have a cat on my website. You'll see a calendar, and I will be putting it up on my calendar
Okay.
when I'll be doing those. So I do one-to-one coaching, group coaching, and in a workshop. So I want to do a lot more. I want to do more teaching as well. That's why that was one of my reasons for moving to this platform. So yeah, there's lots up and coming. It's just a matter of keeping an eye on.
Okay. Now with that, how do people get a hold of you, get in touch with you? What are the different
Okay,
mechanisms?
so I'm all over social media as
Okay.
Annie-mood, either Annie-mood Coaching or Annie-mood Consulting, one of the two. I have a Facebook group called Stress and Wellbeing, Own Your Power, Own Your Power Stress and Wellbeing Sanctuary. And my website now is annie-mood.newzenla.com.
Okay, we'll help you on your website thing. You can route people if you want to make it easier for you. Maybe I'll show
My
you a
social
trick or two.
media, I'm out there. So
Okay.
I'm on Instagram, I'm on TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
So if they look for Annie Mood, you'll probably find you on any one of those topic areas that way.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen many Annie Moods. Hopefully, they're not hiding.
You never know.
Oh, I just haven't Googled people. I
Yeah.
don't know.
I found another person exactly spelt the same my name in Florida and was a mechanical engineer like me. It was kind of weird. But
Wow.
definitely a different person and actually a legitimate person. So it's just funny how that happens in the world. You never know. You might have a twin.
You never.
Never know. So well, I want to thank you, Annie, for coming here and appreciate you sharing some thoughts on managing your stress, getting into that good emotional status or state way of
Thanks.
being
Yeah.
and your story a little bit. And definitely want to invite you. Maybe we'll do some team up with some meetup events for my 5 a.m. Master Scrum meetup group. I think people could really use your talents and your knowledge and what they do.
Oh, thank you. I would love that actually, because
Okay.
I do work with workplaces. I work with a lot of workplaces. Well, mainly schools at the moment, but
Hey,
it's good
business.
workplace.
Maybe business will be the other side gig for doing helping, because we know we're all stressed. Think about everyone.
Yes.
They're all stressed
Yes.
at the workplace, whether it be schools or outside. So they could definitely use
Yeah.
your help.
Absolutely. We in a time where people's stress levels have hit all high. And it's the cause of most of our illnesses. It's the stress and most of our physical illnesses as well.
Yeah.
So we need a better way of managing our stress so that we can live longer and see our grandkids.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's the plan. All right. Well, thank you very much. And hopefully, we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really enjoyed this. Yeah.